Okay, well, it's a wild day today. Amen, amen. Good thing we skipped announcements. I'm way late. Now, what have we been talking about? What's that? Great Commission, how to share the gospel, okay? For those of you who haven't been here, or just as a reminder, it's a real, like, how-to sort of series. This is like a workshop kind of style. Even you guys practiced sharing the gospel message at House Church last week. Up an activation, I've planned an activation for your House Church this next week too. Some of you might still have your blue sheets with you. If not, you're probably at home, I figure. But on the blue sheets, it says, there's some examples of ways to break the ice in sharing the gospel. What I heard from you all, from the leaders in particular, is that you know how, or you know what the message is. That's not the problem this morning. Now, if you're not fluent in the message, it'll hinder you. So you need to practice the message and feel fluent in the message. I mean, I know we all know the gospel, but sometimes, you know, you just need to kind of rehearse a thing so that you've got those scriptures on rapid recall and that sort of thing. Okay, so that's one part of it, but you guys are telling me, Peter, that's not so much the part of it. It's that we don't know how to get started. Like, how do you get yourself into the scenario where you get to share that message? And it turns out, after y'all told me that, the leaders, then I saw that statistics bear that out, I believe. Being that 75% of believers are confident they can share the gospel effectively, is what statistics say. But only 5%, have ever led anyone to the Lord. Wow. By the way, this space is not about the 5%. It's about the difference between 75% and 5%. I know that probably half the people in this room haven't led anyone to the Lord yet. Until some years ago, maybe 4 or 5, I don't know what it was, I hadn't led anyone to the Lord. And I kind of knew it was a problem. It was like, man, I've got this deep relationship with God, and I minister to people all the time. Why have I not led anyone to the Lord, you know? You kind of gloss over the Great Commission, like, yeah. But now I know how to do that, and it's become part of my life. So that's what this is about, okay? How to get to the point of sharing the gospel. The blue sheet has a lot of information on that. We've shared a number of testimonies, and I've shared about just using Brad's 5 questions to turn a conversation spiritual. Well, that was precious, you guys, Christopher and Carrie. That was so neat. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, everyone, for praying. We talked about Brad's 5 questions, how that can turn a spiritual conversation. Just so happens I was asking a young lady for a glass of water, just like in John 4, and I ended up getting to share the gospel with her. We talked about personal testimonies. Remember the young man who came to my door selling something that asked if I had any following advice? And I said, no, Jesus. And then I told him how to receive Jesus, and he received Jesus right there on my porch. And I actually bought some electricity, too. It turns out how it was. Yeah. I talked about us kind of intercepting a guy on Thanksgiving. Yeah. Right? Remember that story?
Yeah.
And so we got to kind of intercept him, and then hear that he had some need for some, like, emotional sort of deliverance-type ministry. Did that for him, but then said, as much peace as you feel right now, the bigger thing is peace with God. Do you have peace with God? And got to make sure that he knew that he was born again and pray with him right there. Isn't that wonderful? All before his shift started, while Megan was making the answer for Thanksgiving. Okay, now, I've got another testimony to share today. But before I do, Amber has a testimony. So Amber, great, come on up. She texted me the other week, and I thought, we've got to share this at church. It's simple, but it's powerful.
Okay, so about a week and a half ago, I took it here, because I was so excited. Well, this is going to show that I love fast food and I shouldn't, but once in a while, I find it working late. I don't eat fast food often, but this day I did. I find it working late and I only have to cook for myself. Sometimes I'll go and get a sandwich at a drive-thru, and it's kind of my guilty pleasure. So this day, Ryan had a science fair, and it was really late, so I was coming home from work, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get myself a hamburger. So I went to the drive-thru, and as I'm waiting for my burger, I saw this man who was serving me at the window, and he just, I don't know, he struck me because he wasn't smiling. I don't know how many drive-thru workers really smile, and it was really cold, too, but for some reason, it was like God was speaking to me about him, and so I thought, okay, he's not smiling. Maybe I'll just, you know, smile at him and say thank you and hopefully they'll brighten his day. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God brought to remembrance all these tracks that I had in my glove compartment. I probably had 100 in there. And I realized I'd probably given out two. Excuse me. So I didn't really want to give him the tracks, sorry, because I was a little nervous about, you know, how long it would take to explain what this is, and I knew there's people behind the door, and I thought, oh man, then he's gonna think I'm a total weirdo, or that I'm maybe attracted to him, or something down, and I'm talking to him. And so then I realized all of a sudden, all these things are just distractions. So the fact that I don't really want to give him a track, but the Lord brought it to my mind, I wasn't thinking about doing that, it must have been God. And I thought, God, you're speaking to me, this is you. So I'm gonna forget all this other stuff. So I couldn't really reach well in my glove box, I had to unbuckle my seatbelt while I'm watching. He's going away, and he's working at the front cash register, and thinking, oh no, and this other woman is putting in my food, and I'm like, oh no, Lord, you've got to give me a chance. I've got to give this check now to fix it. I don't have any time to be, you know, nervous about this. I've got to do it. So if it's your will, I'm supposed to give him one of these things, please send him back to the window. So I unbuckle my seatbelt, awkwardly reach over, open my glove box, stuff's falling out, I reach for a track, he comes back, he gives me my food, and I'm thinking, okay, do it, do it, do it. So I reach out the window, he gives my food, and I switch hands and give him this piece of paper, and he looks at it, and I said, I feel like I'm supposed to give you this. This is from my church. I don't know if you have a place where you attend, but you're invited. And the website's on the back. And he had the biggest smile on his face. And it really just, it changed, you know, his whole demeanor immediately. He thanked me several times. And then, you know, of course, I had to dry off quickly. There was a big line. But I sure hope he showed up. So,
amen.
You know the story of Elijah, the rain is about to come back?
Yeah.
No one else sees the rain, but Elijah's praying, and then he lifts his head up and praying, and lifts his head up, and he says, a cloud in the distance. Here comes rain. When Amber texted me, it was that thing in my heart that said, that'll work. That's the start. It will be exponential. Do you know how exponential growth looks initially? But then it's exponential and it's increased. And so I just love that Amber was faithful to do that. And I thought it would be a great encouragement to you guys. And even the next day, then I got a text from another person in the church who had got to share the gospel with someone. So this is awesome. As you guys are faithful and just step out, you're going to start to see it be exponential in your own heart and exponential in the church. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Here's why. I just tell you my heart. Paul had this heart. Remember, Paul said that he was in like labor pains until the Christ was formed in them? Remember the Lord at the beginning of the year gave me this word. He said he loves the preciousness of our body. He loves our knowledge of him. But he's calling us to go out, to reach out, to deliver to others what he's delivered to us. And so that's the thing. I'm literally, I feel like my heart is in labor pains for our body to do exactly that because it's what the Lord's called us to do. Isn't that wonderful? This is so exciting for me, Amber. I love that testimony. And if you guys look on your blue sheet, if you got it, look at number six. It's one of what Amber did was one of the ways I was going to share with you to get into sharing the gospel, and that's purposely giving a gospel tract. Purposely giving a gospel tract. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. It's pretty simple. I'll give you just twice in the last like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I've had an opportunity to do exactly this. And both times that I recently did it, it was with homeless people. Okay? Now, I always kind of look for discernment in my heart. Do I give to this homeless person or do I not? Because obviously some have drug addictions and things like that. And unless the Lord tells me, I don't necessarily want to feed their drug addiction. But in giving that money, right? But sometimes I'll feel a witness for some reason. Maybe for me, it's about 1 out of 10 homeless people that I see where it's like, I feel like I should stop for them. Okay? So, you never minister out of need, you always minister out of need. If you minister out of need, you'll get burnt out. If you minister out of need, you'll have the grace for it. Okay? So just the best as possible, you try to be sensitive. So I pull up, I'm getting off 71 somewhere about 3-4 weeks ago, and I see this younger lady, she's probably 25, I don't know. There, you know, she's homeless and she's got a sign out. And for some reason, I felt like I need to do something for her, but I'm in the other lane. So here's what I do. I was going to be going to Starbucks to do some work, but I was like, what I'll do is I'll go to the BP, I'll get my gas, and I'm going to go get some food for her in the BP. I got her a Cliff Bar. Okay? By the way, you're not supposed to know, but there's a mentality, you know, the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. So you might think, like, why is Peter sharing all this sort of stuff? It's the instructor, obviously. Okay? So I'm just sharing the details of my thought process with you, okay? And I'm also going to share money amounts, only because I'm just being full disclosure for the purpose of instruction, not for the purpose of anything else. Okay, so I go in and I get her Cliff Bar, because that's one need she has. Another need that someone in that situation has is money. They probably don't have a place to sleep that night. And a young lady like this, I don't want bad things to happen to her at night. I'd rather her be able to be behind a locked door if she could be, right? And so anyway, I go to the BP, I make sure I've got some cash, and I'm going to give her three things. I'm going to give her cash, I'm going to give her food, and I'm going to give her the gospel. Catch that? Now, here's the next thing. If I'm giving someone the gospel who needs money, and I give them $1, that's lame and cheap. It doesn't represent heaven. You might think I'm being strong about this. I'm not calling you cheap, but I'm saying heaven doesn't act like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Heaven doesn't act like that. If you share the gospel with someone, Jesus said, I don't want you to be lukewarm because he doesn't want you to be a halfway representation of the kingdom. If you share the gospel with a waitress or something like that, well, that's her. I'm not saying you have to give a 50% tip, do what's in your heart, but I'm saying don't give 13% or 12%. I'm not going to tell you about all these numbers. It's important that we represent heaven well. You know, there's no lack in heaven. That's the issue. There's no lack. And so if we say, God's a good God, here's an 11% tip, that it doesn't compute. You're not representing your father. You're his ambassador to the world. I mean, think about if an ambassador from the United States drove around, let's say, China in a 1974 Yugo. How would that represent America? It appearance matters. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, in God's able to supply, I don't have it. 2 Corinthians 9. Yeah, according to his riches and glory, is that one. But there's the other one in 2 Corinthians 9. Let me turn there so I've got it. The concept of God is super solid, the wording, I do not. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oh, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That you always having what? All sufficiency. God actually wants, as his grace abounds to you financially, he wants you to have all sufficiency. He wants me to have, I'm not there yet. He wants me to have all sufficiency. In how many things? In all things that I may have a what? An abundance for what? Every good work. So I'm speaking to you, the heart of the Father right now. It might sound like, you know, preachers up here saying, I got a tidbit better or something like that. But we ought to have an abundance for every good work, all sufficiency in all things, so we represent the kingdom well. I mean, this is a big deal. God's not a cheapskate. Okay. That was important. That's the Holy Ghost. Okay, now. So I get this stuff put together. So I've got this track. By the way, if you want tracks, they're $5 for a pack of 50. You can put them in your glove compartment. I try not to go anywhere without them. You never know. You never know. Okay? So, got this track. I put a $20 bill on the inside of the track. Now, do you realize that is a kingdom message right there? Right? I'm sure some people might give a homeless person $20. I think a lot of people give them $1, $2, $3, $4, $5. $20 is probably a bit of a surprise to them or the higher end of what someone would have maybe give them, I would think. I don't know. So there's a Bible tract, there's 20 bucks, and that's actually a congruent message. And there's a cliff wall. So what I've got to do now is somehow finagle my way to get back to this girl, but I can't get back off the off-ramp because I'm not on the highway anymore. And so it's kind of a complicated thing. So I pray for grace, just like David did. God, I don't do your work right now, so I'm going to pray for grace. And I pull over to the side of the road, pray that I don't get a flat tire because of the debris in the side of the road, put up my flashing blinkers, and call her over. She comes over. I'm not getting rear-ended currently, so that's going well. And it's like, watch out, I'm doing the work for the Lord. I've got my blinkers on, I pull over as far as I can. You know, if there's traffic behind me, so be it. They can figure it out. It'll be okay. I'm not going to take long. She comes over. I said, hey, how are you doing today? Here's what I normally do. I introduce myself. My name's Peter. Why? Because I'm made in God's image, just like them. And I shake their hands. And then I use hand sanitizer afterwards. But I shake their hands, if at all possible. How many people actually touched? Jesus touched the leper, and then he spoke to the leper. The leper said, if you're willing, and then Jesus put his hand on him. Do you realize what that said to this man who probably had not been touched by anybody in years? Then he said, I'm the. And so I reach out, I shake my hand, hi, I'm Peter, and I shake her hand. Well, I think I did in this case, but that's typically what I'll do. She gives me her name, okay? And I said, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I want to give you three things today. Because you know what I'm saying when I say I'm a believer, I'm a Christian? By the way, I always say it like that. I don't say I'm a Christian just by itself, usually. Most people have all sorts of ideas about that. So I say I'm a believer, okay? But then most people don't know, might not know what a believer is. So I say I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. And so I tell her, which kingdom am I representing? Obviously not the kingdom of darkness, but I'm also not representing the kingdom of the world. This is not a social justice moment, this is a kingdom moment. Okay? And so I say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. I said, I want to give you three things today. I said, a cliff bar, and she was like gushing it off. Like, this was so amazing, thank you so much. Okay? And I said, and I also want to give you $20. And then I want to give you the third thing, which is the most valuable thing in there, which is the message of the gospel. That is not worth $20, it's pure gold. That's always the phrase I use. I say, this is pure gold. The gospel message, the tract, right? And ours says, a message worth reading. And by the way, that message is so well written by Brad that it will lead anyone to the Lord. It's not like the gospel light. It's really well done. It's got scriptures on the back, a helpful prayer, the whole thing. It's really a nice track. I give it to her, and I said, that's pure gold. And I said this, and I said, that message changed my life on March 15, 2005. It was my more important message I'll ever read. She says, thank you so much. I said, absolutely. God bless you. Great to meet you. Turn off my flashers, look, and go. 40 seconds. She might have prayed that night. I'm going to meet all these people in heaven. You know that? I'm serious. Last 2 weeks ago, before church, I was like, hey, guys, let me finish rehearsing this part of the sermon with you. So I pulled to go on, and I end up down around Bubbles, and we met a homeless guy there, and I felt like, oh, we're supposed to share with him. This is perfect time, right? So anyway, that's a way that you can share the gospel, just like Andrew did. You can share the gospel tract. Sometimes I'll be talking with maybe like a cashier or something somewhere, and I feel like I'm supposed to witness to them. Can you witness to a cashier very easily? No. Not thoroughly. So what do I give them? A tract. I'll come back in, and while I'm talking with them, say, hey, you know what? I just feel really like I've got something I'd love to give you to read about the Lord, if you'd be interested in that. I tell them what it's about. It's not about essential oils. So I tell them about the Lord, and they'll say, oh yeah, sure, right? And so I'll bring it back in, and usually before I get it to them, I'll say something like, do you promise me that you'll read it? It's okay if you don't want to, but if you're going to take it, will you promise me that you read it? And they'll say, hey, yeah, I promise, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Do you know why I asked them to give me their word? Well, I feel comfortable doing it because I'm not forcing them to take it. Do you see what I mean? But if they're going to take it, I want them to give me the word they're going to read it, because them giving their word, they'll think of it later. Oh, yeah. I told them I was going to read that. Because you know that hell will move against them remembering that thing and following through on that. So it's important to, you know, try to position it so that they're making kind of a commitment, if possible, for their own sake, that they read it. I can't wait to meet the folks in heaven when I die, they got led to the Lord, or when they die, if they die with me, they got led to the Lord through a 45-second exchange with the gospel tract. Isn't that going to be amazing? So easy. So easy. Often, by the way, another way I use tracts is after I share the gospel with someone fully, if I get a chance to talk to someone, oh, you should send a tract with them, not so they get born again a second time, but so that they can repeat the message. It's got our contact info as a church on there, etc. Very helpful. The tracts are available after service if you'd like them. Okay, let me share one more story. Boy, I have a whole teaching today. I don't want to be sensitive to your time. Let me share the story, which the teaching is kind of based on. Okay, look at four. Number four, prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry. Somebody can share a story. Another testimony. By the way, I've been hearing beautiful things from the body about what the testimonies are doing in terms of stirring up. I really believe it was the Lord that gave me the idea to major on testimonies for a few Sundays. So I know that you might be feeling like, you know, this is a little different than normal. That's why, remember I said this is more like a training and equipping. It's all scriptural. It's the Great Commission. I'm just telling you how to do it. You told me, the leaders told me, we need to know how to get this conversation started. There's no greater way to see that than seeing worked out examples. When you see worked out examples, it causes you to think, oh, yeah, that's how you can do it. And you'll be in situations you'll remember things that I shared, and it'll just dawn on you what to do. That happens to me a lot from stories Brad shared over the years. We're like, oh, yeah. You know, ideas come to you. Okay. I got invited to go to a ministry night for young people some time ago. And at this ministry night, there was a worship time, which is meant to be a ministry time during the worship time. By the way, I share all these with details removed for anonymity, okay? Not that they're, I mean, all these beautiful stories, but for anonymity's sake, okay? Beautiful worship time. And what I did at the start of the worship time is I asked the Lord if he had a prophetic word before I left. Okay? Now let me tell you what prophecy is. You ready for it? It's hearing what God is saying and sharing it with someone. Hearing what God said, sharing it with someone. That's prophecy. If you'd like, I can complicate it for you. But there's no need to complicate it scripturally. Hearing what God said, sharing it with someone. I will also tell you that scripturally, do you know who can prophesy? All believers and donkeys. In the old covenant, the donkeys prophesied outside the word of Jesus. So in the new covenant, better covenant, bigger, but well, maybe smaller areas to prophesy. Here's what I'm trying to say. John 10:27, you guys know this verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's a description of what it means to be a follower of Christ, right? They follow me. What's the first thing that it says? My sheep what? Isn't that awesome? You as a believer were made to hear the voice of God. Well, that's good. Now, listen to this. Numbers 11:29, Moses was foretelling and looking forward to the new covenant. And he said, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. For 1 Corinthians 14, 31, talking about prophetic order in a church. Paul's writing to Corinthians, here's how you can administer, you know, prophecy within a church, so it's orderly. 14:31 says this, for you can all prophesy, sorry, I thought it was up there, I don't want to be too quick for you. 1 Corinthians 14:31 says, you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. So who can prophesy within that church? You can't all prophesy. Are you starting to catch a beat? Acts 2:17-18, which is from Joel chapter 2, I think it is. It's a prophecy from Joel, which sounds a lot like the Numbers 11 word from Moses. But Acts 2 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So note, can kids prophesy? Absolutely. I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, they do not have a junior Holy Spirit. He also says that nobody is God's grandchild. You're either your son, his son, or a daughter. So kids can't just ride on our coattails. I mean, we're supposed to bring them up. They're supposed to have their own connection with God. And they don't have a junior Holy Spirit. Now, they do prophesy through the lens of a kid's brain. So it might be kind of like a cute word and stuff like that. But they can hear the Lord 100%. Peter's woken up with a dream recently. He said, man, that was a totally prophetic dream. And he had everything. He knew what the symbols in it meant. The Lord gave him that. And then I gave him the interpretation. Isn't that powerful? Okay? So, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, check. Kids too. Your young men shall see vision. Okay? Your old men. Okay, so sons and daughters, young men and old men. Okay? So dream dreams. And my men servants and on my maidservants, all servants of the Lord on me. So men and women. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Which days are those? Now, starting in Acts chapter 2, that's when Peter got up and said, This is that. I will pour my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:1, is it? That's not enough yet. Pursue love. Okay? And desire spiritual gifts. Desire. Do you know that word means lust after in the Greek? A more sort of tame way to say it is earnestly desire. So it says pursue love, earnestly yearn for spiritual gifts. What was that? Oh, what did you say, Paul?
It's been coming up.
Oh, but especially, listen, pursue love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Who's that written to? The prophets? The believers, the Corinthian church. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay, now, make a few distinctions. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was on one person at a time. I mean, it might have been on multiple people, but there was a divine... By the way, thanks to Mark Crawford and Chris Halliday, they taught me a lot of what I know about the prophetic, so a lot of my language today might be from them at some point. Glad you know Mark. Okay, Old Testament, there was a divine concentration of the Holy Spirit on few, and so the Old Testament prophets would prophesy, the Lord would come upon them. They would prophesy. To be honest, I think it was so automatic that they would have had to try to miss it. That's just my perception. I don't have, like, it's not recorded. Here was my prophetic process. But the Holy Spirit came upon them. They would prophesy. And that, you know, you get Isaiah out of that. Okay? And so what did everybody do? They went to an Isaiah or to an Elijah or to a Samuel. And they say, what saith the Lord? And they say, thus saith the Lord. Now, that has some implications, because it's not that way now. What did they not have then? They did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And what did everybody else not have? The Holy Spirit indwelling them. And so here's the system God set up. It would be very dangerous to have a prophet tell people wrongly. In other words, to be a false prophet, because nobody else would have the Holy Spirit to discern one way or the other whether it was right or wrong. Thus save the Lord, go to battle. Sounds good. Okay, here we go. And here this guy got paid off from the other, you know, that kind of scenario. The Lord's saying, if you've got a prophet that tells you wrong, you should stone him. That's Old Testament prophecy. It was necessary because no one could discern anything otherwise. I don't think it was overly harsh on the prophets. As like I said, I think it was a more automatic kind of thing. It came on them. They either gave it accurately or they twisted it of their own volition. So they give it accurately. There we have it. Now, what's the difference? John the Baptist is the last Old Testament prophet, right? And now we have Jesus and the New Testament prophets. Did you catch that? Now, Jesus is the greatest prophet that ever lived. Did you know that? He was also the greatest apostle that ever lived, the greatest evangelist that ever lived, the greatest teacher, the greatest pastor that ever lived. And then he gave those gifts to men in Ephesians 4 for the equipping of the saints for the works of service so that we would be interdependent as leaders in the body of Christ and not just be the one-stop shop. Okay? That's a revelation, by the way, I believe the Lord's releasing in this season, that Jesus had all of those things, and he was the one who gave them out, you know, anyway. That revelation that we're releasing for too. Okay, so New Testament, what's the difference? Here's what I'm getting at. For practical purposes, I need to dispel this idea that you might have in your head, because in the Old Testament, you judge prophets. If they messed up, they were a false prophet, and they should be stoned. In the New Testament, you judge words. Did you hear? In the Old Testament, you judge prophets. In the New Testament, you judge words. Because we, in the body of Christ, if you're sharing in the body of Christ, prophesying in the body of Christ, we all have the Holy Spirit so we can co-discern what the Lord's saying. In other words, I could give a word to Kenton that I thought was from the Lord, and he has the Holy Spirit in him too, and the Holy Spirit in him might say, no, that's not from the Lord. And he's like, huh, doesn't sit right with me. I don't think that's the Lord. Now, is the Holy Spirit schizophrenic, or maybe did I miss it? Do you see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of safety in the body of Christ, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, 1 Corinthians 14 says. So all I'm trying to get at is in the New Testament, you don't have to be a perfect prophet. Or you don't have to be perfect prophetically. I'm not saying we don't try to do a good job of it, but we see in 1 Corinthians 13 that you're never going to see and know fully this side of eternity. And so you prophesy as looking through a glass dimly, and you do your best job at speaking what the Lord's saying with the heart that He's saying. Good? Okay. The other point I'll say is that in the New Testament there are prophets, Ephesians 4, there are prophets, the office of a prophet, but there's the gift of prophecy, which is separate than the office of the prophet. So when I say everybody can prophesy, that doesn't mean that everybody's a prophet. Okay, so every believer can prophesy, but not every believer is a prophet. Does that make sense? The big difference is that a prophet can correct and direct because they're actually in the government of God. So they're meant to be leading in their prophecy. Good? Okay, back to the story. This is a different order than I expected today because of timing. Back to the story. So, that's just a little bit about prophecy, so I don't want anybody out of the story. I'm at this ministry. I'll end with the story over there. I'm at this ministry, and I ask, Lord, do you have a word for me? And I get, like, a word for three different people. And all I'm doing is looking at the back of their heads. I'm just sensing, do I have anything? So I have a word for three different people. Then they say, if anybody would like prayer, we've got a ministry team. So one of the people that I got to work for happens to walk right up to me. Now, if you don't think this is a divine setup job, you're not paying attention, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, boy, I know exactly what's going on. Now, listen. What do you normally do when people walk up for prayer? You say, hi, I'm Peter. Yeah, nice to meet you. How can I help you today? What can I pray for you about? Those sorts of things, right? You kind of interview them a little bit. Do you know what I did in this case? No interview. Why? The Lord already gave me a word for her. Did you catch what I just said? He already told me what he wants to do. And so the fact that she just came up, I don't need to interview because she might not know what he wants to do. Do you catch what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She comes up and I say, great to meet you, I'm Peter. She gives me her name. And I said, do you know what? When I was back there, now listen, people might not be familiar with the critics, you gotta be just like a little bit soft. That was my tongue. I said, you know what? When I was back there, I asked God if he had anything to say, particularly to any people. And do you know that he spoke something to me? I believe he spoke something to me specifically for you. He highlighted you to me. She says, really? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I said, would you like me to share what I think he's saying for you? She says, yes. And I had a vision. Now, for me, this was not like an open vision, something the rest of the world faded away in my mind's eye, and I have an open vision. You can have this. This was just like an impression in my mind's eye. I kind of see it in my imagination, if that makes sense. Okay? I see this vision of her walking into a grand hall, like a big dance party sort of thing, a grand formal hall, on the arm of Jesus, and Jesus is smiling and so glad that she's the one on his arm. And so she says, yeah, I'd like for you to share. Yeah, please do share. And I started sharing with her that I saw this grand hall, there was Jesus, and he was walking in. Did you know who was on his arm? I said, no. I said, you. And I said, he had a big smile on his face. You know, sometimes when someone's like really proud of their girlfriend, they're proud of their spouse, their wife, that's the sort of smile he had on his face. He was so proud to be seen there with you. She starts crying. I start crying. I mean, I'm not crying. I'm supposed to be innocent. I'm crying. Okay? And she's like, that's me. I said, yeah, my husband's so beautiful. So I share this with her. And then, she said, how did you know that? How did you know that? You know? And I said, well, you know, I've just been working for a number of years, and he wants me to share things with me. And if you were to share, I'll often share that with others. And, you know, over time, I've learned when it was definitely him that it was talking with me. And when I heard him say that about you, or I thought that about you, I knew that was him that was talking. I know his voice. Right? She said, that is incredible. I said, yeah, that beautiful. That's God. I don't know. And then I asked her this. I said, did you know that Jesus was like that? That's what I'm doing. I'm addressing now for spiritual safety. I said, did you know that Jesus was like that? No, I had no idea. And you guys should talk for a second. I said, yeah, that's exactly how Jesus is. You know, I'm giving her time to process the reality of the love that's in Christ. And she's like, wow. I said, would you like to know what Jesus is like that? And she said, yeah. And I said, I can help you with that. Would you like me to help you know Jesus? And she says, yeah, I'd love that. I said, that's great. We'll just take a few minutes to talk with you and share what the Bible has to say about how you can know Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? And so I go to those five questions of what can you tell me a little bit about maybe your spiritual background, your race, and church background, that sort of thing, just so I can share well with her. And I just start sharing, just like I taught you guys. I start sharing about Adam and Eve. She's getting it. She's one of those folks that got that revelation. Oh, they died spiritually, yeah. I keep sharing with her, and I remember specifically with her, I shared the thing about this is why Jesus needed to be born of a virgin, and I wait for a second for that revelation to get transmitted by the Holy Spirit, and her jaw drops. She said, you're kidding me! That's why? I said, yeah, that question. That's amazing! Okay? You know, to break that lineage of spiritual death, Jesus therefore was spiritually perfect. He's the second Adam, that whole thing, right? She's really taking it all up. By the way, remember, the Holy Spirit's there with you. All day, the uptake of these truths. You're just sharing his words. He's operating based on those words. This is what's happening. Share this with her. And after I share that with her, I tell her what it means to be born again, how we can be born again, would you like to be born again today? She said, absolutely. or something that I can very affirmative thing. I said, really, don't do it for me. And I don't always do that, but in this case, because the age difference, I was a little bit older, I wanted to really, not just be like, hey, I just heard from someone who seems pretty authoritative in their knowledge of something, and therefore I just go along with what they say. I wanted it to be per decision, right? And I said, don't do it for me. I mean, it's got to be what you want. No, I want to do it. Yeah. Okay, that's great. It changed my life when I received the Lord. Let's pray. So I leave her a prayer. She receives the Lord. Just totally beautiful. Why did she receive the Lord? Because of a prophetic word. I learned something later that lets me leave me to believe it really was the Lord's will that was the word that came forth first. Where if I just led with the gospel, I don't think it would have had that result at all. But the word broke through. The love in that word broke through with the heart of God and naturally that the opportunity of the gospel. So that is that. I got to hear she didn't have a Bible. And I was thinking, I don't know if she would be able to get one. So I gave her my little Bible. She's like, really? I said, yeah, it's yours. Okay, guys, again, kingdom, right? We can get another Bible. There'd be some that really came to give away. This one was a small one, and only came a little. Give her a Bible, give her a gospel tract, which will use that message as contact info, that sort of thing. So, anyway, that's that story. What I wanted to share is I wanted to teach on prophecy, but I'm pretty much out of time at this point. So, let me see if there's anything else, maybe just a couple other things. Oh, okay, yeah, good. Yeah, let me just share this, what Aaron was saying. Yeah, okay, that's perfect. Okay. Okay, I'll hold prophetic teaching. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:3. I love it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14:3. You gotta have this. He who prophesies speaks three things. Watch. New Testament prophecy. He who prophesies speaks three things. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Okay? Who are you speaking from? You're speaking from God. To men, right? Obviously, hearing God, delivering it to others. Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Edify means to build up. The word of the Lord, prophetic words, will build people up. Will build them up. It'll help them go into their destiny. It'll build them up. The word of the Lord exhorts. That means, you know what that word means in Greek? It means actually to call near. I think it's parakleo. I could be wrong. Like the paraclete, right? Close here. Good. It calls us near. Listen, the word of the Lord, remember when I spoke to that girl and said about Jesus and she was on his arm? Did that draw her nearer to God or repel her from God? Do you see what the fruit of that is? Huh? Oh no. Come on, that is good. Hey, by the way, so Lois said the entrance to the ball is the entrance to the kingdom. No, and this is what I realized after the dawn of me preparing this message. That's good, Lois. The dawn of me preparing this message. Do you know that that vision I had was not just like, hey, Jesus loves you? It was a prophetic foretelling of what was going to happen when she prayed slightly after hearing the vision. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the Lord spoke to me. This is what's going to happen with this girl. That's why I said when she came up, I ditched protocol, didn't ask her why she came up, and I told her what the Lord said. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's like, I already know what God's doing. Okay, and she was fine with hearing it. Man, that's so good. By the way, you see what just happened there? The prophetic word belongs to the Lord. It comes from God, right? Do you know that belongs to the Lord? The interpretation. So watch it. The interpretation belongs to the Lord. And you see how the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, and who has that prophetic spirit? All of us, right? And so what just happened is, I'm sharing a story, and the Holy Spirit is not just in me in this room, is in Lois, and jumps pops up and says, you know what that ball is? It's the entrance to the kingdom. It's like, yes, that's it. Okay? Because the interpretation belongs to the Lord too. So you need to be careful. There's the word that you get, and then there's an interpretation to the word, and sometimes even an application that you'll get for the person. But listen, get the word and let the word be the word. If the Lord gives you an interpretation, add that to it. Don't add your own interpretation. If the Lord gives you an application, add it to it. Don't add your own application. Joseph gives a perfect example of this. Remember Joseph? Pharaoh has a dream, calls Joseph in. Joseph's like, yeah, that means there's going to be a famine. Okay, now listen, the dream was from God, and the interpretation of the dream was from God through Joseph. Okay? Right? Now, then, Joseph, after saying that, says, now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and send over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land in Egypt to the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those great good years that are coming. Da 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 da. What did Joseph just slip into there? Word of wisdom. Did you catch it? So now, there was the word, which was the dream. There was the interpretation, which was also from the Lord, through Joseph. And then there was a word of wisdom, of application, that came also from the Lord, through Joseph. Isn't that powerful? What? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, forthtelling, and foretelling are four ways that I am very familiar with, flowing prophetically, and they're all the same thing. They're hearing from the Lord and giving it to other people. Hearing from the Lord, giving it to other people. If it's from the Lord, it will encourage, edify, and comfort. It'll comfort. Put that picture up real quick, Nancy, if you don't mind. Okay, now listen. This is a logo to a company. We had someone over at our house babysit for us, and so they babysat, and then we ministered to them afterwards. I started talking and felt like, man, this is going to be prophetic right now. And you might say, well, that's prideful. No, it's not. It's humble. It's just that the Lord was moving. I mean, the Holy Spirit was moving. And I told this young lady, turn your phone on, record. Because I knew it was about to, I could feel the Holy Spirit was about to speak through me. I didn't know what about. But I turn the phone on, record. She's recording what I share, and then 2 years later, she writes me a note on Facebook and says, you'll never guess what happened. Got this job. Job was difficult. Was feeling, concerned that job is different things. And this word that I gave didn't end up fixing the concern of the job, it ended up providing comfort. That's why I'm bringing it up right now. Remember? Edify, encourage, call near, and comfort. Cheer up. Okay? Apparently, in this word, I don't even remember. It's like I'm a mailman, just dropping it off. That's what we do. We don't own the prophetic words, we just drop them off. We give them to people, we try to deliver them. Well, they're not us. Just give it. So apparently, in this time, I say, I see 3 C's in a row, word for word, that's what I said. I see 3 C's in a row in the context of creativity. Okay? This is the logo of the company that she was working for, and it's a creative design firm. So she, one day, goes to go listen to that message. She listens to the message, 3 C's in a row in the context of creativity, goes, boom! That's what it was about. That's the logo for the company that I was going to be working for 2 years later, and it was a great comfort to her that the Lord had foretold what that would be. Does that make sense? Now, it's humble to me because I remember saying it. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. What? Why was I talking about 3 C's in a row that context creativity? I can't even remember what I said. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's encouraging to me. So, anyway, I'll share one other thing, but know that in the New Testament, you have to prophesy according to New Testament standards. When the angels came, when Jesus was born, the angels said, peace on earth and goodwill to men. You know what that means? That wouldn't have bad work towards anybody. Even sinners. Very doubtful. And so what I'm saying is, we need to beg them to be reconciled with God. We've got a ministry of reconciliation. We do not have a ministry of imputing their trespasses against them. We don't use the prophetic to point out people's dirt. You use the prophetic to call out people's gold. John 4:17 says that our Father, the way that He is, let me just get this right, way that he is like this. He gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Remember you call Gideon a mighty man of valor? It doesn't make any sense. It's not even like this. You're chomping. Some people be like, oh yeah, you know, you need prophetic. It doesn't take prophetic to know that someone's got problems. It takes the Lord to know the divine solution. Okay? So, listen. God calls those things. I'll give you an example that I think I would be on. Multiple years ago, I went to a BP gas station with a $20 bill to pay for gas. And I walked out from the attendant. You know how long it takes to walk a $20 bill into a gas station to pay for gas when there's no one in line, right? You're in the cubicle that's the store for 7.49 seconds. So in and out, but I walk out and I start pumping the gas and I have this thought, that guy's got a gift of relational reconciliation. Now, how many of you, or me, walk around and I walk a day thinking, there's a relational reconciliation gift there, there's another. You know, it's not what you're thinking. Right? So who's that probably from? The Lord. Okay? And I know how it feels, right? We once you know his voice, you know how it sounds. It's like, this is sounding like God. So I put my head back in after I pump gas. You know, it's got a little butterfly, so I'm like, I'm gonna do it. And I said, hey, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I know this might be out of the blue. But I just felt like the Lord spoke to me that you have a gift of relational reconciliation. Does that make any sense to you? And have you noticed how humbly I did it? And it come in, thus saith the Lord, thou havest a gift of relational reconciliation. I'm going to make fun of that one. Okay, now, in practice, my King James English stuff. Don't use your King James English. Let it be normal. I didn't have King James English because you're qualified. Okay, let it be normal. Let it be normal. Let it be normal. Be humble. One time I heard from the Lord that there's going to be 2 years. Something about 2 years and 2 years and a girl. And I realized, oh, we're going to have a baby in 2 years. I started to realize Megan was pregnant. This baby is going to be born on Peter's second birthday. And I'm like, I know that. I heard from the Lord. Then we go to the first ultrasound, and the due date is Peter's second birthday. I'm like, I heard from the Lord. I knew it. And so I started telling everyone, we're going to have a baby. It's going to be born on Peter's second birthday. It's going to be a girl. Right? Okay, now we go to the next ultrasound. Turns out it's a boy. Oh, I was so humiliated. I had to keep throwing that so bad. I was despondent. Out of the car, out of the office. I was like, what's wrong? I said, I was wrong. So I'm like despondent, right? And she said, well, you just need to humble yourself. And I said, I think the circumstances are taking care of it for me. And he was binary. He had a 50-50 chance. How prophetic was that? Okay, now, turns out, on Peter's second birthday, at 1 a.m. in the morning, unsolicited, out comes Andrew. Sure enough, the 2 years part was totally the Lord. The girl part, I missed it on that. Now, listen, what I'm saying is that taught me a lot about humility and the prophetic. Do not say, thus saith the Lord, unless you know, thus saith the Lord. And even so, Proverbs 18, or Psalms 18:3 says, the word of the Lord proves true. So you don't need to say, thus saith the Lord, really, because the word of the Lord proves true. Now, every once in a while, I will tell you, as a mature in the prophetic, a lot of times the Lord will put a burden on my heart to give a word a bit more emphatically, but it has to do more with the maturity that's developing, and you'll have that develop on some level, too. And, for instance, I can speak to Aaron's, you know, operation of the prophetic gift. There's going to be times where she would actually be disobedient to not put a little bit more burden on a word that she knows is from the Lord. You know, if she sort of so soft-pedals it, it's like, I think I might have heard something from God. It's just not accurate. She knows she heard something from God. So she can give that humbly still, but with a little bit, but that's because of an experience set that she has. Does that make sense? Okay, so if that's you, you'll know that when it's you and you can start ramping up. As a general rule, don't say thus saith the Lord. BP. I'm at BP. I go back in and I say, hi, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. And do you notice how I said, does that make any sense to you? So I say this to him, and he says, this is so weird because I just got separated from my wife. Huh. Do you realize that I just walked back in by the lead of the Lord and told a man who just got separated from his wife that you have a gift of relational reconciliation? That's the heart of the Father. And Paul sends the heart as though they So when we're prophesying edification, exhortation, comfort, that's what we're doing. We're prophesying out of love, out of the heart of the Father. Remember 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you get prophecy, but you can't have love, you know, you got nothing. So we do that out of love. So what's it going to do? It's going to so bless people. Here's how you get started in the prophetic. Chris Alvin tells a story. He was going fishing. Someone was going fishing with an older man. New person didn't catch anything. Then they traded poles, didn't catch anything. Then they traded spots in the boat. New person still didn't catch anything. Then the new person realized they didn't know how to feel lines. You guys are getting nibbles from the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting nibbles from the Holy Spirit all the time. I'm speaking. Remember, Jesus is the Word. Got plenty to say. He's speaking all the time. You learn to recognize the nibbles, and you'll learn how to set the hook, and the thing that you used to miss will become something that you now live. Okay? Obviously, being the Word, all prophecy should line up with Scripture. Doesn't mean you can only quote Scripture. You can say you have a relational reconciliation. I don't know the Scripture that says that necessarily, but surely scriptural. Do you see what I'm saying? So be in the Word and be in prayer. Prayer part is what connects you with His heart. You can get all the right word in all the wrong way and won't be representing the Lord well. You've got to represent Him in truth and in the spirit of how He operates. Okay? That comes from prayer. Last thing I'll say is this. Jesus was the perfect prophet. He said this. John 12:49. I did not speak on my own initiative. Did you just hear what he said? I did not speak on my own initiative. This is a key prophecy. I did not speak on my own initiative. I spent years telling the Lord, God, I don't want to say what you don't have for me to say. Right? I pray for people and I'd say, Lord, your word's not mine. Now it's changed for me. Do you know that Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. What started to happen for me is now, there was a transition period a few years ago where I started to realize, was that from the Lord or was it from me? And then I started realizing my heart had lined up with His in many ways, and it almost didn't matter if it was from Him or from me because my heart was His heart. Did you catch it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and what? He'll put desires in your heart. And now we do it. So Jesus says, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. So here's the last piece I'll say about prophetic. It's important that in wanting to speak the Lord's words, that we are not in the habit in other times and areas of your life of speaking not His words. For instance, if you curse, you'll be messing up your prophetic flow for some time later. Do you see what I'm saying? If you're negative at the water cooler, and I don't think our church has this problem, I'm saying, purpose in your heart, only say what He's saying to the best of your ability in all areas of your life, and then when He wants to speak, He'll be thinking, I can use Kenton, I can use Lord, I can use whoever, right? They'll say what, they, all the time they're saying what I'm saying. Does that make sense? Okay, last thing, start. So what we're going to do, you just got to swing the bat. You start trying to set the hook. You'll start to know that you're hearing the Lord a lot more than you think. And people are going to be so blessed by you sharing that Jesus walked with you into the ball with you on His arm. Okay? So I'll say this. Just start. House church next week, we're going to do a little activation at the end. There'll be a conversation about the testimonies and about the very short prophetic teaching, and then a little activation. We'll break into maybe a couple groups, and one person at least will volunteer to have people prophesy over them. Now, do you know what this means? That means that people are going to share what God is saying. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to prophesy over you. Okay, I'm going to picture that Jesus just walked into the room, and I'm going to try to say the sorts of things I think Jesus would say to this person right now. Do you see how simple this is? Okay? And so, but here's how it's going to happen. The person volunteers, everybody else in that group has to say something. Everybody has to. And if it's hard for you, you'll be like one of the last ones to go. Just build off of something someone else said. If it's encouraging, if it's edifying, if it's comforting, if it's love, you win. Isn't that awesome? Okay, Father, I pray a blessing over this word in the name of Jesus, and a blessing over my late church that has been so gracious. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for this to stir up and to light a fire, and for all the fun and joy to come with it. In Jesus' name. All right. God bless you guys. God bless you.